if you say you're going to do something for somebody, you go and you do it.
The one thing I love. Lessons for life.
Welcome to The One Thing I Learned. This episode is with my father. I think I hit the lottery with my parents. My father is a rugby legend, having played for, captained England, coached England, managed England, and also played for the British and Irish Lions on one of the arguably most successful Lions tours in history in South Africa, 1974. My father's always been one of my heroes, not really because of his prowess on the rugby field, but because he was also a teacher all his professional life, and he's just one of the kindest, strongest people I've ever met, and he's just wonderful. So this story and this lesson from him is going to be great. I'm sure he'll just make it up on the spot, but that's the way he rolls, and I can't wait.
The try given to the Lions, and it's Roger Utley, the man with the touchdown.
If I was to die tomorrow, the lesson I would like to leave behind is that I think you need to be trusted by people. And if you say you're going to do something, I think you should do it. I go back to my schoolboy days when I first started rugby. I got nominated for a trial. We lived in Blackpool. The trial was due to take place down in Preston, which was about 10, 12 miles away. But in those days, you know, that was a long distance to go. When I woke up, I looked out of my bedroom window and it was absolutely chucking it down with rain. And I thought in my young adolescent mind, well, there's going to be no play today. And immediately went back to sleep and forgot about it. When I got to school on Monday morning, my PE teacher, Bryn Jones, who was a big influence on me at that time in my life, gave me the absolute roasting of a lifetime. Why didn't you turn up? Well, because it was raining, sir. Well, he said, that's not the point. He said, you know, you were there for a trial, you were there representing the school, and you failed to turn up. And he said, in my book, that's a big no-no. If you say you're going to do something for somebody, you go and you do it. And I've tried to follow that in my later life. I've perhaps not always lived up to it, but that's, you know, if I say I'm going to do something, I like to think that I will carry that out. I'm now in my 74th year, and I see contemporaries of mine falling by the wayside, and in terms of leaving us, you know, and dying, passing away, and it's a sobering thought. If I think about what I've learned over time, is that A, you might have bad experiences, and you know, life is full of ups and downs. You know, some days everything seems very easy, other days life seems, you know, pretty tough, and you can be in situations where you're working with individuals, seemingly working for a common cause, but there is a lack of commonality between you, and for one reason or another, you know, things can fall apart, and you can end up in pretty, you know, unhappy, unhelpful situations where if you had your time over again, you might do things differently. I can think of a few instances of, you know, like that. Conversely, I can also think of occasions where, for instance, when I joined the Gosforth Football Club, as it was in those days, we were a group of young people who sort of matured together with some older hands behind the scenes, just sort of guiding us and mentoring us. And
but by Gosforth Football Club, you mean the actual rugby club?
Yeah. And but it was known as Gosforth FC, But it was a rugby club. I'd played for Fylde down in the northwest, and then gone up there to the northeast and played for Gosforth. And through the 70s, we just became, you know, a pretty formidable team for 3 or 4 years. And during that time, we grew together. You know, it was a classic band of brothers situation. You had lots of different characters coming together, but we all had a common goal and a passion. And we enjoyed the success that that gave us all individually and as a team, and the recognition that that gave us. So that sort of thing, you know, you're very fortunate to be part of that, and recognizing that you're in that sort of environment is important, and treasuring it and making sure that it lasts, and the things you've got to bring to it, things like not being selfish, not taking too much credit for the success of anything that goes well in that particular environment, sharing that success, because not everybody will have the same amount of input, same amount of recognition, just by virtue of the jobs that they're doing within that organisation. But nonetheless, if those jobs weren't being done, then the organisation that you're involved with at that particular time might not be so successful.
So in terms of that lesson you learnt with Bryn Jones not turning up, how did that...
For instance, so in that club environment at Gosforth, there was a hard core of regular trainers. In those days, you know, you all had full-time jobs. Most of us had young families on the way to look after. But there was... So club training was on a Tuesday and a Thursday evening. Plus you had matches on a Saturday. Living in Newcastle then, they were an ambitious club. The fixture secretary was expanding the fixture list. So it meant that on occasions at weekends, if there was an away match, we might have to travel on a Friday night and not get back till the early hours of Sunday morning. Such was the way things were in those days. So there were lots of sacrifices that people had to make. And there was a hardcore of us who were there on Tuesday night, Thursday night, training in between as well, you know, going to the gym or whatever. A bit like today's professionals, but on a, you know, much more limited basis. But we took it seriously. We wanted to be successful. And that hardcore of people sort of attracted other people in, other people who had bigger, better jobs or whatever, couldn't afford the time or, you know, other family pressures, but were there, you know, either a Tuesday or a Thursday, and there on the Saturday. And we sustained that for, you know, a number of years. And when you get that sort of stuff going on, other people want to come in and join the party. And it's a very strong environment to be involved in. Conversely, when I finished at Gosforth and moved down south, I started playing for Wasps. My last game for Gosforth was against Wasps, and Gosforth pounded Wasps for, you know, beaten by about 30 points or something like that. And all the lads were saying to me in the Gosforth changing room, why on earth are you coming down here? But that's just the way it was. And then, funnily enough, over time at Wasps, very quickly, I didn't play that many games, but in about three seasons that I was involved before I had to retire, there was a good crowd of lads came together again, and that same sort of environment began, a successful environment began to develop. One or two players were attracted. There was a Mark Taylor, a Kiwi, who was a fantastic centre, great player, and one or two others. And a good band of what we used to term alakadoos, the guys, the committee men who used to run the club. And they did, you know, they provided an environment for us to, as young players or as players, to develop and compete at better levels.
And how do you sort of police that with amongst yourselves? So you get a good group of guys within your team to do that. Well,
rugby being the game certainly it was in those days, if you wanted to be successful, you had to have a corporate discipline. You know, there was still a drinking culture in those days. And it was quite obvious in a team of 15 guys who were all amateurs, you know, and were there principally because, you know, that was their weekend recreation. there had to be something to spark that interest. And so if you were part of a successful setup, that made life a lot easier. And I suppose what I'm saying is you had to have a focus, you had to have leadership, and you had to have that feeling of esprit de corps, which all successful organizations need to get the best out of the various disparate parts that come together to form that whole. All those little bits working together and making sure that everybody does their job. Rugby is a good example of an organisation that requires different mental attitudes, you know, front row forwards who want to go and have a wrestle in the dark arts, second row forwards, big rangy guys who, you know, got to be good at the line out. And to bring all those lads together, different physical types, different mental attitudes, it's the chemistry involved in that that has become much more of a science now and much more understood. Whereas in the past, it was just that a feeling that you had when you were with other good players and wanting to do the right thing and seeing that there was a target, there was a goal that you could aim for.
But did you see that on the international circuit, you know, with the Lions as player and coach, did you see that as you progressed through the
from playing into coaching and I trained as a teacher, so there was always that aspect of how you get people to perform together in teams. I played a lot of sport, and it's the key thing I think to remember, or one of the key things, is that if you're playing sport or if you're doing anything, you know, on a recreational basis, what are you doing it for? And the key thing in my mind should be because you enjoy doing it, not necessarily because of what you can get out of it. You know, as I developed my career as a player, I had to invest more time, effort and thought to get to the top of the amateur game, you know, as an international. There were sacrifices that I made, that my wife made, that my family made to enable me to do that.
With that lesson of making sure you do what you say you're going to do and turning up, was that of an influence on the Lions Tour 74? Was that backed up with, you know, when you said you weren't going to take, well, Willie John was saying, we're not going to take a backward step. You know, is that, do you see that embodied there?
Yeah, I mean, when I was selected for the Lions in 74, I was still relatively young. I'd just had my first season of international rugby. And, I was still learning. It was still massively exciting. And then to be going or sitting in a room with the likes of Willie John McBride, who was on his third tour. It was a bit like being on tour with your dad. There were other great players there, like Gareth Edwards, or JPL Williams, JJ Williams, all these guys. And so to be in a room like that, I just thought, well, this is absolutely fantastic. I've got to give it the best shot. I'll just listen to what they're saying. Willie John had been on these previous tours, and they got beaten up, apart from in New Zealand. He said, you know, we've learned what it takes to win down there. And there's got to be no walking away. It's a physical confrontation first and foremost. And there's got to be a lot of mental toughness.
What an incredible try for the Lions. And it all stemmed from Phil Bennett, well inside his own 25. Upfield he went, jinking, accelerating. And there was the forward support, McBride and Brown, Utley as well, and eventually to the hands of JJ Williams, and he became the first Lion to score two tries in a test in this century.
Anybody who's not prepared to, you know, front up and be there can feel free to walk out of the room now, and we won't say another word. And I looked around the room and nobody moved, so I thought, I'm not going to move. And it just went that way. And when you're young and learning from your peers, you know, your elders, who've got the experience, you know, they just said, well, this is what we've got to do. If there's any trouble that comes our way, it's got to be met, you know, full on. And some of them were very good at responding in kind. But it was just fantastic. When you got in that sort of environment where people just wanted to be successful and everything else spins off from that. So you feel great. You can enjoy one another's company and enjoy all the benefits that come with that.
But you were using that lesson you learned with Bryn as a youngster, sort of, if you say you're going to do something.
Yeah, absolutely.
You've done that verbal contract with the team.
Yeah.
You can step out now. You've stayed, so you've got to step up. So the lesson is, if you say you're going to do something, make sure you do it.
Yeah.
Why is making sure that you turn up and do what you say you're going to do such an important lesson?
Because if you don't, you pay the consequences in terms of, you know, damaged reputation, in terms of, well, you know, you'll say one thing, but he doesn't always back it up. If you're going to do something, then you've got to be able to do it or give a very good explanation as to why not. It's just critical, really, because it's all about trust. And trust is very important in an organization where you are dependent upon one another for results. And it doesn't matter whether it's on the sports field or in, you know, any form of business.
Well, but also your personal life.
Yeah, right? I wonder, personal life as well. Yeah, no, of course. Because life is all about trust, you know. And there are plenty of people that I wouldn't trust as far as I could throw them. But you steer clear of those. And when you come together, or you recognize the relative weakness of that sort of relationship and deal with it accordingly. Either deal with it with some sort of circumspection or not at all. So my lesson would be is, if you say you're going to do something, do it, because everything else falls off that. You know, trust, the whole bit, and that's key in life, in my humble opinion.
The one thing I learned: one guest, one story, one lesson every week. Kind of lesson that stays with you, not advice. Not noise, just something true. Something gathered on the way. Something worth passing on. Listen on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube. And at theonethingilearned.com. Produced by Amelia Clement. Music by Benjamin Hallway from Stamp Productions.